Maybe tonight, just before we tell you a little bit about the work we're involved in, we could take a look at God's precious word. I want just to share one verse from you. It's found in the book of Lamentations. That's one of those smaller books. If you can get yourself to Isaiah and then Jeremiah, then you're not too far away. You'll find yourself very soon in the book of Lamentations, and you'll not lose all your bookmarks. They'll not be all over the floor. We want just to read one verse, and it's Lamentations chapter 2, and we want just to read the verse 19 of this chapter. We're going to read it in complete isolation to all that's going around and all that's involved around the verse. We want just to read it by itself. It's a very apt verse for our work here and what we would have to say tonight. God's word says, "Arise, cry out in the night. In the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord. Lift up thine hands towards him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street." Maybe just with that little verse before us, we could turn to the Lord and we could ask for his help. "I would covet your prayers that the Lord will even give me stillness of heart, take away the fear and nervousness. And that as we would just look at what God's word has to say, it'll speak to all of our hearts." Oh, what a tragedy to come tonight and to go home and to lose out with the Lord and miss out and even sitting at the Master's feet. Let's just have a little word of prayer first. Our gracious God and Heavenly Father, we would just try and seek to humble ourselves as best we know how. As we come into thy holy presence, we pray, O Lord, that we will, Lord, get a distinct grasp of the one whom we come before. O Lord, our knowledge of thee is so limited. And O Lord, very often we come onto thee in a light way. We come onto thee forgetting that thou art in control of all things. But we pray, O Lord, tonight that thou would just draw us nigh unto thyself. O Lord, even as we look for that drawing nigh unto thee, the old devil would have us to flee. He would point out all of our sin, all of our weakness, all of our unworthiness. But yet, O Lord, we delight tonight that we come unto thee in and through the name of our Savior and because of the blood that was shed for us. And it is well with our souls, and we have peace with God. And we can come on to thee. O Lord, we pray as we would seek, Lord, to spend time with thee tonight, that thou would be pleased to draw us out after thyself, that we would know much of the shepherd who loves us. We would know much, O Lord, of the delight of sitting at thy feet. We pray, O Lord, that you'll allow, Lord, even the events of today to melt away. The thoughts, Lord, that would be upon us, that the devil, Lord, would press upon us, Lord, to be set aside. And Lord, that we would just be at peace with thee, be in the place of comfort, be at rest, and O Lord, be blessed. And O Lord, even in doing so, we realize that many of the pressures we're under, many of the difficulties we face day by day, Lord, will just seem to smooth away. Bless us tonight, be near unto us, undertake for us, fill us with thy Spirit, O God, we pray. For we ask it in our Saviour's wonderful and precious name. Amen. Little verse that we've just read tonight, there are just three little things in this verse. There is the subject of the verse, very simply, children. And then there is the setting of the verse, and that being the dark watches of the night season. And then finally, there is the supplication found in this little verse. That great pouring out of heart. That lifting up of hands before the Lord in prayer. Indeed, something that perhaps we really know very little about. Something that we are very amateurish in. And yet it's laid before us in this wonderful little verse. Now, because our time is limited, and because I'm limited, I'm sometimes more like a melodian than a theologian. We want just tonight briefly to touch upon the very first of these three little thoughts. That being the subject of the verse. Little children, the boys and the girls. Now, in this verse, they're not just any old children. If you look down through the verse, you'll see some wonderful descriptions. First of all, they're called young children. Then they're called thy children. And then they're described as those that faint for hunger. These dear children are not strong, and they're not vibrant, and they're not independent, but rather they're weak, and they're needy, and they're helpless. And we need to learn some lessons from this verse. First of all, they are young children. And of course, young children are always in need of help. In the practical realm, the children need to be clothed and fed and kept warm and safeguarded and protected. And we see this all the time. I see it every Sunday morning with youngsters going into church. They're not through the church door, and mommy has the hanky out and just dubbing it all over the face and just trying to tuck their trousers in the back, and the poor child's getting pulled every shape. They're being looked after, cared for. But you know, there is a looking after amongst our children that's paramount even above that. And that is their great spiritual need. Being born in sin and shaped in iniquity, all of our children are in great spiritual need. Having been born in that lost, sinful condition, and indeed held captive by the will of the devil, all children everywhere need all the spiritual help that we can give them, and as soon as possible, so that they might not end up being lost forever and forever. What an important thing that is. But not only are these children young, but when you read on, you'll discover they're called thy children. And why are they called thy children? Surely they're not all ours. And most certainly, biologically, they're not ours. But yet the Bible describes them as ours. They are thy children. They are yours and they are mine by association. We have been made responsible for them by divine decree. The herald has been proclaimed in heaven. Remember the command of the Savior that was given? The responsibility he placed upon all of his servants? Whenever he said there in Mark's gospel, "Go ye into all the world, preach the gospel to every creature." I am sure there's alliance in there for the little boys and girls. I'm sure the children of the world are included. And God has commanded it. And therefore, it is our responsibility to be obedient to that command, because these are thy children. But then lastly, this verse describes these children as being faint with hunger. Now I can remember way back in the 1980s, and whenever those first, long before the instant media access that we have now, whenever those first pictures beamed around the world from the land of Ethiopia, onto the news screens, and tens of thousands of people were suddenly starving. And perhaps for the first time ever, the masses of the world got to see this footage. Maybe you recall those scenes of countless numbers of frail, skeleton-like bodies of men and women and children just sitting round listless and dirty and lifeless. And it was shocking to watch. But we watched on. And ironically, many of us watched as we sat down to a full plate of dinner ourselves. And as we looked on in horror, we would have said, "It's a pity we couldn't do something." But they're so far away. And I know over time there was a great humanitarian push, and many efforts were made to save these people from starvation. But how we lack as a band of God's people with the spiritual starvation that's all around us. We just don't see the need as we ought to see it. And as David says, is there not a cause? Lord's Day after Lord's Day, we, every one of us, are fed on the finest of the wheat. We have the best of preachers. We stock up for ourselves. We almost are sermon tasters. We take the menu out and we'll think to ourselves, maybe there's a week of special meetings, and we'll go down through the week and we'll say, "I'm not going that night. He's long-winded. I'll not go that night. I heard him before. He's not much good. I'll go that night. He's great." And we're just sermon tasters. And yet there are so many have never gotten anything of the truth of the gospel. Never heard anything in this land. Never heard anything. Starving. They know nothing of the bread of life. And what are we doing about it? Of course, in the natural realm, whenever there is starvation and whenever there is famine, there's always accompanied with that much disease and eventual death. And isn't it always the little ones that suffer first? It is indeed. Now, what a lesson there is there, spiritually for us. The little ones will suffer from the malnutrition, from the hunger, and they'll be all, if they survive it, there'll be problems in later life with their well-being as they move into adulthood. And we see this in our land today. That's why our land is in the mess it's in, because this word is a closed book in our province. And we kid ourselves a little bit in the free church. We are maybe happy with that little band of well-behaved children that we have around us. And I don't want just too many troublemakers in. And I don't want too much difficulty. We want a nice little Sunday school. And we don't want to be bothered with a lot of difficulties, troubles. And you know, the numbers are dwindling. And we're not reaching out. And we're not taking the ground that's there to be taken. I will point at Israel of old, but we're just as guilty for not taking the ground that's promised to us. And many miss out, and they grow up not knowing God, and society as a whole is sinking further downward and away from God. And lives are entrenched in sin and becoming hard against the gospel. Surely the need is great, but are we going to do anything about it whatsoever? Another little thing that struck me about this verse, and then we'll move on very quickly. This little verse has two words in it that caused me to think a little bit. Let me just read it to you again. It says, "Arise, cry out in the night, in the beginning of the watches, pour out thine heart like water before the face of the Lord, lift up thy hands toward him for the life of thy young children that faint for hunger in the top of every street." That word life there, you'll notice, is in the singular. And the word children is in the plural. Now, from the very little that I know about the structure of grammar, it would seem to be much more proper to say, "Lift up thy hands toward him for the lives of thy young children." But maybe God is teaching us something even through the translation here. Perhaps there's a word here for us. I believe it is teaching us that lives are what children already have, and life is what they need. New life in Christ. There is life for a look at the crucified one. There is life at this moment for them. But who will go? Who will seek them out? Will we be the ones to tell them of Jesus, the mighty deceiver? And where are all these children? These precious lives that need help and guidance, that need the life that we're speaking of, life in Jesus Christ. They're not hard to find. We're even told where they are in this verse, in case you're not too sure. They're found in the top of every street. They're all around us. They're all around us. And so, dear friends, this is the work that the Lord has impressed upon me. And he has directed us to make it our business to go out into the streets of our towns and our cities and to find and to help and to win these children for him. Because they are young and they are mine and they are fainting with hunger, spiritually speaking. And so for a few moments, I want just to tell you a little bit about the work of winning boys and girls for the Saviour through our efforts in child evangelism. Our work is mainly divided into two parts. Just to make it as simple as possible, we have our winter work and we have our summer work. Now, sometimes by looking out through the window, we don't know whether we're in the midst of the winter work or the summer work. We need to check the calendar. But I thank God for a good old wintry night in Northern Ireland. You know, there are certain countries and they don't have horrible wintry wet nights. And you know, we should thank the Lord for it, because it gets the youngsters off the streets and into God's house. You ever think of that? What a blessing that is. When it's dark and wintry and cold, then we can get the children into the meetings. Of course, we're now living in a day and age where so much vies for the attention of children. And they're all over the place and everything. But still in all, we get the children in. And we need to make much of it. So we have our winter work and we have our summer work. And the winter work is mainly to do with children's meetings here, there and everywhere. And also a lot of work in the morning time in the schools and sometimes in the afternoon, maybe doing an RE class or a scripture union. And then in the summertime, we usually have 7 or 8 weeks back-to-back of holiday Bible clubs, children's missions, tent missions, youth camps. And all of this is accompanied with a little sprinkling of door-to-door work throughout the whole year. Let's just start off with the work in the schools. It does play a large part of our ministry. Some of the schools that we go into are very large indeed. The Lord has been very good to us. In the very beginning, whenever we finished Bible college, we knew we were going to work full-time amongst boys and girls, but we just really didn't know how it would all pan out. And I decided, well, we'll send out some terrific letters, and all these schools, they'll just want me. They'll just phone a ring off the hook. There'll be nothing like me, and this'll be great, something less for them to do. They'll not have to prepare for assemblies, and it'll just be easy peasy. And we got all these letters all typed up, and I got my wife to spell check them and put it all in the way it should be written out. And we got them sent off, and we waited, and we had to learn a lesson. And the lesson was this: it's the Lord's work, and he opens the door in his time and in his way. And we were running on the strength of the flesh, and the phone hardly rang at all. We hardly enough work to do part-time work, never mind full-time work, and we were greatly distressed, but the Lord was just chasing us and getting us in a place where we would realize that this is his work. And when he got us into that place, do you know what happened? We got great confidence that no matter what I hear today about what our politicians can do and who has authority in our schools, I know that when the Lord opened the door, it'll stay open until he closes it. And so we have nothing to fear. But we need to be time wise. We need to redeem the time. For the Lord hasn't promised to open the door forever and a day. But he has it open for us now. And we need to be swift about the work. Now my wife said, write everything down, because these people have to go home at night. And I have really hardly read anything here. And I should really stick to this. And I keep looking down and again and stopping and thinking to myself, how did I get away over to that bit there? I don't know how I got around to that. How am I going to get back to where I was? But sure, my wife's about 70 miles away, and sure, you'll not pass any remarks, and we'll not say a word to her when we get home. But she'll know when I'm in late that I've been speaking too long. But I have to say to you, we will try and be as swift as we can, because I have school in the morning as well, so I have to get up early and get to school too. So I nearly forget where I was there, but not to worry. You remember where it was, Brother Ian? I see if he's listening now, you see. Not to worry. Well, anyway, these schools, getting into these schools was not happening at all. And then I got a phone call out of the blue. And it was from a lad who was heavily involved in children's work. And he came on the phone and he said, Brother, we need your help. We have a big program started. We're into an awful lot of schools. So much so that we haven't enough speakers and I can't cope. And my heart started to beat a nice tune. This was great. I was going to get in and this was just going to be fantastic. But then he began to say, now, brother, we're not going in as free Presbyterians. And we're not going in under this. And we're going in under a different program. We're going in under this, that, and the other. And my heart began to sink. And at the end of it, I said, brother, I really appreciate you ringing me. But I think I'll maybe just hold fire. But I really appreciate you thinking about me. And he put the phone down and I was no further on. I'm a great believer in you ought to let people know who you are and what you are and what you stand for from the word go, so there's no whataboutaries coming down the line and you didn't say and you didn't tell me. And we had to just forgo that opportunity. It's sad to say that fella is no longer in full-time work. In fact, I don't even know where he is. And we had to just leave it with the Lord. And immediately I put the phone down, I picked it up again, and I rang my Uncle George in Kilkeel to see if I did the right thing. That was a good idea, wasn't it? Making a decision and then asking somebody, sure, we all do the same thing, don't we? And he thought for a minute or two, and then he said, I think you did the right thing. And I put the phone down a lot happier. And then the Lord began to open doors in a most wonderful way. And I can rejoice tonight to tell you that we're in roughly about 50 different schools. we'd been most of them on a regular basis. We're getting to see thousands of boys and girls every single week from all over the world. There's wee boys and girls from Latvia, Poland, all sorts. We're getting into Protestant schools. We're getting into Catholic schools. Doesn't matter. They're little souls that need the Saviour. And what a privilege. And I have to say tonight that we're really at a place where we really can't do any more. And that was made very evident to me last year whenever my wife took a phone call. I was at the minister's week of prayer, and my wife answered a phone call from a dear Roman Catholic lady. She's a head teacher in one of the schools that we go into. It's in one of these integrated schools. We would do about half a dozen, maybe eight integrated schools. And I can remember going into the first one, I thought this was great, cool. And then somebody burst my bubble and said, them integrated schools let anybody in. So, but this dear lady, she rang, and I wasn't there. And my wife took the call. And this dear lady said to my wife, I was looking in my diary in January, and I don't see Robert's name down in January. Is there something wrong? And then she flicked over to February, and she started getting a wee bit more anxious. We'll just say anxious, maybe angry, I don't know. And I wasn't down in February either. And she wanted to know why I wasn't down on coming to her school to do an assembly for those 2 months. Whenever my wife relayed it to me later on, I was absolutely thrilled. Here was a dear Roman Catholic woman who wanted us in, who had space for us. But then my heart sank because I knew why I wasn't in that school. It's because I couldn't go. My diary was full. And I couldn't get to March. And you know, that is really where we are. We, as a denomination, are on the go 70 years. We purport, and I think rightly so, to be light in a dark place. We're evangelical in our outlook. And yet, 70 years on, we don't have enough workers for the work in the home environment. And that's to all of our shame. And we would pray tonight that the Lord would maybe speak to your heart. I don't know how things are with you and the Lord. And maybe the Lord's been speaking to you about serving him. And he maybe allow you to do it in a part-time capacity. He allowed me to do it in a part-time capacity for 20 years. I was nearly 40 by the time I was ready for Bible college. I remember sitting in Bible college with all these 18 and 19-year-old fellas, and they were just drinking it all in. Page loads of stuff. I couldn't find what I did with the page, never mind what was on the page. But that's how the Lord works. There's older folks here, and sometimes, you know, we make excuses. I've got commitments, and I've got a mortgage, and I've got a family. You think the Lord doesn't know that? Is the Lord not able? I remember putting up all those excuses myself. Remember the Lord brought a man my way, a man by the name of McGowan, a secret missionary into communist countries, Vietnam and that. And he just said to me, Robert, who writes the check for you at the minute? He was in my workplace at the time. He was lining me up for a big... And he said, who writes the check for you at the minute, every month? I said, that man there above the door. And he just said, the Lord can write a bigger check than that man could ever imagine. Don't you worry about it. And I would say the same to you. The Lord needs workers, and the Lord needs you, and this work needs you, because we are just so low in number. As I said earlier, well, there's 800 primary schools in this country. There shouldn't really be 800, but you know how the political divide is. But there's 800, and we're really only getting into 50. That's only about 5, 6%. And I know that many of our men do a good work and they endeavour to get in. And I know that we have some of our other missionaries involved in the work. But we are just scraping the surface. There's a vast number of boys and girls just there. And you know the wonderful thing about it? I'm going to a school tomorrow morning. It's a big school up in Belfast. And this school is so big we have to do 2 assemblies. That's how big it is. Huge school. And tomorrow morning I'll get to see 600 boys and girls. Now, if I was to try and organise meetings here, if I was to come to Kilkeel here and say, now, brother and sisters, we're going to organise meetings, and there's going to be 600 children, well, there'd be some job getting buses for 600 children and workers, and you would probably have to have them all in the main building. And to me, to get to speak to 600 boys and girls It's like getting to do about 20 children's meetings in one go. And you don't have to worry about the buses and the heating and the electric and the poor workers and the discipline or anything. It's all there for you. And what an opportunity. But you know the wonderful thing about it is this. Not only are we speaking to boys and girls, but there are others there who we come into contact with every day. Immediately we get to the school, we have to remember that there are other people there too. There's a school secretary, that's the one who runs the school for a start. And you know, a wee word in season, a wee calendar, a wee bookmark, all these things that count. There are lollipop men and women, and there are staff who'll sit up on both sides many a time. Some, as we said earlier, can be against us. It's always very encouraging when you have somebody who's a Christian and they'll say to you afterwards, we really appreciate it, we're praying for you. And I pray for that member of staff too, because I know that they might get it in the staff room at tea break. Oh, that over-the-top religious boy in there this morning, they'll have to sit through it. I'm come and gone. We forget these things. And these people need prayed for as well. But there are many who will sit in. And there's one particular head teacher, and we get going to her school, and a lovely lady, very, very intelligent. She's actually a doctor. And I've seen her wee with compliment slip. She has more letters after her name than I have got in my name. And a real lovely lady. She has done a lot for me to allow me into her school, and she has gotten me into other schools as well. But that's nothing away from how God's word lays things out. Doesn't the Lord even use those who are unsaved to promote and advance his kingdom? Think of Darius. This woman's my Darius. She has gotten me into schools. I was just looking through a lot of old stuff yesterday. I was reading out bits and pieces, and I came across a letter that was 6 years old from a school who had refused me entrance and said, thank you very much, but no thanks. Just as polite as could be, but just didn't want me. They had all their old dead clergy that they could handle. They didn't want me coming rocking the boat. But I'm in that school today because of this particular lady. But I want to tell you about her. I had just finished doing a little school assembly, and I was gathering everything up, putting everything away, and the children were filing back out to class, and she just came up past me as close as that. Didn't want anybody to hear. And she just said, Robert, I never heard that before. And you know what she had never heard before? Just a little simple illustration of her need of the Savior. What could the Lord not do if he was to save that dear woman? Wouldn't it be tremendous? He can do it. He has done wonderful things. I remember a lot of years ago, and I'm going off again here, but not to worry. We had a wee fella start to come to our children's meeting, and he couldn't hear. And so I thought to myself, we'll have to get this wee fella into the meetings, and you can still see the pictures, and we'll get him involved as best we can. And I put him along with a girl called Auntie Linda, and I said, Auntie Linda, you look after him now. And as I was up doing the story, the next thing she was signing away to him. I didn't know she knew about a sign language. And I thought, this is tremendous. For the first time ever, there's a wee fella maybe getting to hear the gospel in a language that's familiar to him. What a privilege. And it spoke to my heart, and I said to myself, well, I need to do something about this. And we enrolled in a night tack to go and learn a wee bit of sign language. And the first night I went, I opened the door, and there's 15 women. I thought, oh, I'm just going home here. And then the second thing was the girl who was instructing us, she was also deaf and dumb as well. And she was insisting that nobody was allowed to speak for 2 hours. Now you imagine 15 women not allowed to speak for 2 hours. But I can tell you, by the third week, there was only four of us in the class. But you know, that lady used to mock me. And I'll tell you how she mocked me. The first night we were all there, she gave us all a big piece of paper and said, write on that piece of paper why you're here. And I just wrote on it, I'm here to learn sign language to tell boys and girls about the Savior. Give it back there. And I knew rightly, she was reading down through them. I could just see her. She just stopped at this one. And she used to mock me in a very undertone way. You know, Robert, you need to pray for this class. They're not learning. They're not doing this. They're not doing that. You pray for me, Robert. Little did she know that I was praying for her. Do the Lord save that woman? Isn't that amazing? And she's in contact with another girl who I know in the deaf community who's saved. That's how the Lord works. And that, well, listen, we're nothings and nobodies, but the Lord works. But we need to move on. We brought these little bundles along tonight, and the reason why we brought them along is not only do we endeavour to have boys and girls hear their need of the Saviour, but if we can get something into their hands, tangible, that they can take home and have, well, that's even better. But you know, whenever we prepare these wee bundles, they're just wee bits and pieces of pens and wee bookmarks and things, and there's a few wee sweeties in there too. Can't do without the sweeties, isn't that right? And there's a toothbrush in there too as well. No, I'm only joking. And we give these wee bundles out. But every time we prepare them and we put them together, you know, we're just so weak. We're so frail. Our faith is so small. And when we put these together, we're often filled with fear and trepidation. Because we know if they get into the wrong hands, and if they get into the hands of some parent who has the wherewithal and the annoyance within them to ring the school to say, what's going on? What's this here my child's got? Because the message of the gospel, it does create division. It does cut to the quick. It does speak to hearts, and men are against it. And the little tracks that we put in with them, we're very aware of what's in them. And sin is painted as sin, and heaven is painted as heaven, and hell is painted as hell. And when we prepare these here and we give them out, we're always filled with fear and trepidation, because I know that, and I have nothing against any of the head teachers, many of them, all of them have been so good to me, but they have a lot on their plate. The things that teachers have to go through nowadays is unreal compared to years ago. In our day, brother. Remember our day? Everything was in black and white, wasn't it? But anyway, it's easier for that school teacher or that head teacher just to say, that's fine, and I'll never be back again, than have to put up with parents breaking his heart. And you know, we have been able to give out about 1,500, maybe 1,600 of these. And you know how many phone calls we've got of complaint? Absolutely none. Pray to that end that it will continue, that this will be an effective witness. And little ones reading God's word, the entrance of his word giveth light, and that even homes will come to Christ. It's wonderful. It's a privilege. Now, it's not all doom and gloom whenever we go into the school. Sometimes there's things happen that's very humorous. I seem to bring a lot of humour into my life. I try my best to, because, well, you need to have that wee cheeriness about you as best you can. We were asked to do, sometimes we're asked to do special services in the schools, and that will give us a little bit more. We're always very anxious and a bit nervous when we go into schools anyway, but these seem to even add to the burden. I think sometimes it's because you have to go to the headmaster's office first, and that brings back a lot of memories that are not conducive for a meeting like this. But we're asked along to one of the schools to do a harvest service, and we knew it was going to be the P1 to P3, so we decided to do a very simple object lesson on the apple. So I had my big apple with me, and we had this as an object lesson, and we got started, and all the dignitaries and parents, everything was there, everyone was there, and began to talk about the outside of this apple, the peel of the apple, and how it can be shined up to look so well, all gleaming, beautiful. And that's how we all like to look on the outside. We all like everybody to see us in our best light. We like to be caught on with the old bad temper, or caught on saying or doing something. Everybody likes to. And that, there's the outside, the peel. Polished up. Self. And then you cut down into the apple and you come to that old core in the middle. That old hard, horrible bit. You get a bit of that in your apple tart, you're not long spitting it out. Isn't that right? And that old hardness, that old core in the middle. What a picture that is of the reality of the picture, the old sin in the heart. And then we talked about a few other things, and then we sat down, thought we didn't do too bad. And the head teacher, she just leaned over to me at the end. She said, Robert, you know there's a Mrs. Peel in the meeting here, and there's a Mrs. Core sitting over there. So I never looked until I got out of the car on the way home, out of the way. But however, the Lord's been very good to us. There's one little school that I endeavoured to try and get into. I live down the Ards Peninsula, and up that peninsula we get into nearly every school up that peninsula in all the towns. And there's one little school we kept going past, and the Lord put it within my heart to contact this little school. There's only about 60 or 70 pupils in it, but it's a little Roman Catholic school. And we made an effort to contact the school. Nothing seemed to come of it. And then one day I got a phone call out of the blue from the head teacher of this school. And he went at me for about 15 minutes like a handbell. You know, why did this Free Presbyterian fellow want to come to our school? What's your agenda? What are you all about? And there was, quite rightly so. And we took a breath in every now and again, and we tried to answer as faithfully and as forthrightly as we could. And at the end of it, he just said, well, that's okay. When can you come? And we've been able to get to that little school, not as often as we like, because it's a Friday assembly, and Fridays are usually very, very busy for us. But we've been able to get into that little school. What a privilege. Some people say to me, when you've got into that school now, I'm sure you give the Church of Rome a good reading out and give the Pope a good kick and all that. Not at all. Absolute foolishness. Can I tell you what we do? It's far better. If we can present Christ in all his fullness, that'll pull down every doctrine, every false teaching, every lie to pieces. You just need to present the Good Shepherd out looking for that lost sheep. No need for a priest there. No need for a confession box there. And if you present Christ in all his fullness, and in all his wonder, and all his saving power, it'll get through. It'll get through. And what a privilege. There we are, being able to speak to these boys and girls. Of course, they're no worse a need than any child. I was in a little school today. And this little school I was in today, it's quite a colourful area. A lot of the paintings are on the outside of the walls rather than the inside of the walls of the houses. And this particular school, there are actually no assembly doors, which is quite strange. There's just two big curtains. It must be on top of a bonfire somewhere. I don't know where the doors are. But this little school is staunch to the hilt. We're in there today. Those children are just in need of the Saviour as much as any other child is. In fact, that little school, talking about people who get to hear, the curtains were closed one day and I was in there doing an assembly. And after the assembly, the curtains opened, there's a lady standing, and she came over and she had a whole chat to me about what I was speaking on. She was standing the other side of the curtains listening. And she was just a fill-in teacher. Never heard the message of the gospel before. Never heard anything like this before. It's not really amazing in Northern Ireland that there are people who have never heard the message of the gospel before. See, we think that everybody knows the message of the gospel. I go into schools to do RE classes, and they don't know one Bible story from the other. They've got wee daft notions of certain things because of a picture they've seen somewhere, but they don't know anything about Noah and the ark. They certainly don't know anything about the spiritual application. They don't know about Daniel and the lion's den. They don't know about Joseph. They don't know about anything. I remember going into one school to do an RE class, and we were dealing with the life of Joseph, and I was asking the children. Now, these are P7 children. They're soon leaving primary school. They're going into secondary school. They're 11 and 12 years of age. And they weren't coming from dysfunctional families because theirs was the last class of the day. I was going out into the car park. I could see all the big Jeeps, and I was nearly afraid to get open my car door against some of them. And all the gear, all the fancy cars. And they were coming from homes where their parents loved them to bits and would do anything for them, and maybe two or three holidays a year. And they're the best of clothes. They're well fed, well looked after, but absolutely starved spiritually. There were 30 children in this class. We were speaking on the life of Joseph, and I said to the boys and girls, can you tell me, what book of the Bible is Joseph found in? The story. Nobody knew. Well, I let that one slide. There's maybe a time I wouldn't have known myself. And I said, well, listen, it's found in the first book of the Bible. Now, can anybody tell me the first book of the Bible? And two hands went up out of 30 children. One wee boy, he said to me, I think it's the book of John. That was one. He was wrong. In case you think he was right. He was wrong. And another wee girl, she had her hand up really adamant. She knew the answer. It might sound funny, but it broke my heart. She said, it's the book of Guinness. That's where we are in Northern Ireland. You see, this book's closed. And we haven't realized it. We have been caught napping. And the devil's been working hard. And he has stolen our children, and he has stolen them to the internet, he's stolen them to all the modern devices, and he's stolen our teenagers, and he's stealing our older people because they're just caught on as much as the rest. And it's all this here, and this book lies, and it's all this here, and that's where we are, in ignorance. We're as far away from God as people in Africa. I remember one time somebody said to me, there shouldn't be people coming from Africa to evangelize Ulster. And people thought that was funny. But it's getting close to it. It's getting close to it. I need to watch the time. I need to move on. That's the winter work. I'll not give you a half hour in the summer work. We'll cut it down a wee bit. We'll soon be there, but don't watch yourselves. But summer work is basically week after week of holiday Bible club and children's meetings. Now, I know that you have one here every year because I'm coming this year to yours. And you, who all would be involved in that meeting? Did I get a look at you? There's one, two, three. Oh, that's good. Four. Good work. That's four of us anyway. That's good. Now, see if you can get any more. We need as many as we can get. Lighten the load. But whenever that week's over, you're glad for the rest. Saturday morning, oh, it's great. The week went over well. Nobody would get killed or injured, and everything was fine. But I would covet your prayers, because as soon as I finish one week, I'm straight into another one. In fact, the week I'm with you, I'm also in Ballymena in the afternoons, every the same week. So we'll covet your prayers. We're not here to boast and blow about what we're doing. We're telling you these things so that you would pray for us, that we'll have health and strength, that we'll have the right kind of heart for the children. You know, you can come and do a whole pile of meetings and come and go and have no heart for the work. That sounds strange to say, but that can happen. You can just go into like an automatic pilot and you've just done your bit and there'll be no blessing, no work for eternity done. And I would covet your prayers that we'll be filled with the Spirit of God, on fire for the Lord, have Christ-likeness about us, and a love for the children, because some of them are a wee bit unlovable at times. And we'll have wisdom as we speak to them and deal with them. We're with yourselves this year in Moore. We're in Ballymena, we're in Ballygown, we're in Mount Marion, we're in Larne, we're in Ballinahinch, Cumber, and we're in Newton Abbey throughout that summer holiday period. And we do covet your prayers for all these meetings. These are tremendous meetings. They're not like your regular church meeting. Sometimes you just wonder what happened in the meeting sometimes. And I remember one wee fella, he arrived in the meetings and he was armed to the teeth for the meeting. He had rubber bands galore. He had markers. He had a laser pen. He was ready for war. But you know, the Lord dealt with him. He was taken out of the meeting on the first night. He wasn't allowed back the second night. But by Friday night, the wee lad was saved. I was taken out on the Friday night, and I thought, oh, he's done something wrong again here. I've missed it. Some of the workers have frog-marched him out of the meeting. I would like you to pray for that wee lad. His name's Jack. He went out of the meeting, and something spoke to his heart. The Lord dealt with him. We were speaking about assurance. And that wee lad's from a Roman Catholic background. And assurance is nothing in the Roman Catholic teaching. And he wanted assurance. And he went through it with the worker from top to bottom, back to front, and he got saved. And he came back on the Sunday night for the special prayer. It was like a different fella. It was tremendous. I wish he had got saved on the Monday night. It would have saved us a lot of bother. But tremendous. The Lord is able to work. I remember another meeting we had, and there's a wee fella. He got saved on the bus on the way to the meeting about the middle of the week. See, sometimes we think that the Lord couldn't do without us. And sometimes we get filled with ourselves that we've got some kind of great ability and we have nothing and we have nobody and we are nothing and nobody. And it's all of the Lord. And you know, whenever that wee fella got saved on the bus, you know the first thing I thought? The fella who led him to the Lord, I wished I had been there because I'd have done a better job. That's right. You see, sometimes we forget how able the Lord is. See, the fella who led him to the Lord as a young Christian fella, and not a lot of experience in these things. But he was the instrument that the Lord used to see that wee lad saved. You see, whenever Gideon took on the Midianites, Gideon was trying to pick out who he wanted to fight. And the Lord had to send them all home. It was the Lord's choosing, not Gideon. Gideon had 300 men that belonged to the Lord. Gideon didn't handpick them. We need to learn these things. I can tell you about another wee fella. And the first time ever I met him, he came into our meeting, and the the two doors actually hit the wall on both sides as he came in. He just came straight through the doors, like the old Western, you know, whang, and these doors came flying open. And he was doing cartwheels the whole way down to the front before anybody could stop him. And I just thought, this is going to be some night tonight. And it was some night, and it was some night the next week, and the week after. And we had to take him to the side and say, now listen, if you can't sit, we're going to have to take you home. We have certain rules, and we just don't be too hard immediately. And we'll say, if you can't sit, we're going to have to take you. Now, if we take you home, you're then not able to come for 3 or 4 weeks. That's the way we do it. We don't like to outright bar children completely because, well, you do your best for everybody. And anyway, this wee fella, we took him out to the hallway, and I was there, and there was two workers with me, and I got down in front of him, and I said, now listen, his name, if you can't sit, we're going to have to take you home. We take you home now. You'll not be back for a fortnight. And the Lord just led me to speak to him a bit more softly. And I just said, listen, you know, whenever you sit well, you're a great fella. And the tears started down both sides. See, nobody had ever told him he was great about anything. The home background is an absolute mess. I've been in the home. The home is just, they have two big things, a big TV and a big dog, and the rest is just waste. And you know, we don't know the background of the lives of some of these children. And sometimes we're being too hard on them. And this wee fella has all kinds of problems. And he kept coming to our meetings, and he kept coming to our meetings, and he kept coming. He's getting older, he's about 16 or 17 now. And he's a lot of wee problems. He can't read or write. And we try and get him Christian DVDs and things for him to watch. And he comes to all the meetings. And then he began to come to our youth camp. He tried to help out, made a profession of salvation. And we got him one of those big high-vis vests, you know, the ones that DOE men. Well, we've got all those now for health and safety in our buses and everything. And we got him one of those, and we put him at the head of the children as we marched them down the street in the camp. And, you know, talk about poacher turned gamekeeper. What a change. Isn't that not the sort we want to reach and see saved? He has a whole lot of wee problems, different wee medical problems. And there's a wee girl started to come to our meetings, and we couldn't handle her either. And she had the same problems. And he was just able to sit down. And just the way he spoke to her, just settled her, calmed her. What an influence. Able to touch lives that I can't touch. And these are not the ones we want to see saved. That wee fellow who got saved in the bus, by the way, it was really genuinely saved, wonderfully saved. He sings every year in our children's day. He's a beautiful singing voice. Absolutely beautiful. His old auntie looks after him quite a bit. She got saved. What a change in the home. What a change. Are these not the ones we want to reach, see saved? At the beginning, we read Lamentations 2, verse 19. We talked about the subject being the children. Told you about many incidents tonight. Then there was the setting, the dark watches of the night. Surely we're in the dark season. Surely there's a lot of darkness all around. Then there's that supplication we spoke about, that great outpouring of heart. Let me tell you, absolutely nothing is done without prayer. Absolutely nothing done of any value without prayer. And I can't do it alone, and I need your help, because we're weak in the place of prayer, and we covet your prayers. And I would ask, will you join with me tonight? Will you allow me to go up the home rejoicing in the car, knowing there's a people here praying for the work among the boys and girls? Don't worry about who I am. If you don't remember my name, that's not important. Just you, when you get up in the morning, the feet touch the floor, say, Lord, remember that fellow who does the children's work and does the wee schools. The Lord, he'll sort the rest out. And you know, our hearts will then rejoice. My motto text for this work is found in 3 John verse 4. It says, I have no greater joy than to hear that my children walk in truth. I would hope as you see these things tonight, as you've heard what we've been able to tell you, that you'll be able to join in with that joy. You'll be able to be part of this ministry. That you'll support us and remember us. Because without you, we can do absolutely nothing. And without the Lord, we can absolutely just close the books and go home. But he's been good. He's been gracious. He's blessed the ministry. And we thank you for your interest in it.